And now, it gives me great honor to introduce our 10-minute speaker, Mike B. from Atascadero. Come on up.
I am Mike, and I am an alcoholic. Holy crap, full house. Okay, I was talking to a guy before the meeting here. Are you nervous? No. I'm nervous. Sobriety date, 5/15/07. I've got a sponsor who has a sponsor. I've been through the steps a few times. I've taken a few men through the steps. I have a home group, which is the no-nonsense men's stag meeting, 10 a.m., 8600 Tascadero Avenue. And all that being said, I have not felt it necessary to drink in 4,554 continuous days. And for an alcoholic like me, that's a freaking miracle. First off, welcome to the newcomers. You never have to drink or use again, even if you want to. And I can say that today because that's been my experience. I have not had to pick up a drink or a drug in over 12 years, even though there's been points that I've wanted to. Instead, I pick up the phone, or I go show up at the club, or I call my sponsor, or I just sit on my hands and do nothing, you know. Okay, that's enough of the scripted. Everything else is on God, so if you have an issue with that, pray about it. I had a plan coming up here, you know. We all know how well our plans work. Like, all right, I'm gonna do a fast 2, 2, and 2, and I'm out. So here's my 2 on what it was like. I drank like a pig. Anything that I cared about in my life, I drank away. I willingly traded the things that meant the most to me, or I meant the most to be able to drink and use the way I needed to drink and use. You know, a wife and 3 kids, jobs, cars, friends, family, you know, all that stuff. Anything that mattered to me, if it had an issue with the way I was living my life, I didn't have time for you, you know. And that's how it went until I got my last pair of handcuffs in March of 07. But you notice my sobriety date isn't until May of 07, so there was a little stuff transpired there. You know, if you're here on a court card, you know, that's an opportunity to get well. You know, I got here on a court card, and when that court card and that court-appointed drug diversion program went away, I stayed here. So that's what it was like in a nutshell. What happened? I'd become a bar drinker, and I drank so much. I drank in the bar so much they gave me a job, literally. You know, the owner of the bar said, "Hey, Mike, come fix me a Cuba Libre." And I said, "With or without lime?" And I made it, and he tasted it, and he's like, "You want a job?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" You know, and I had arrived at that point, you know, because now you had to come to me for what you wanted, you know. And I wasn't just drinking, you know. There's other issues in my life that I liked. I used to be a lot thinner, if that gives you any clue. And you know, one day I'm on my little motorcycle and I'm going out. I bartended in Morro Bay. The buoy was my bar. And I'm on my way out to the buoy, and I had a nanosecond of clarity. You know, I had a succession of 3 thoughts that happened in the time that it took me to pass a driveway doing 40 miles an hour going down Main Street. And the first thought was something needed to change. The second thought was the way I was drinking and using is what needs to change. And before those two thoughts were done, my third thought was, there's no way I can do anything on my own. And that just, it happened in a flash. And by the time I had crossed that driveway they entered and exited my mind, and I didn't think about that again until I was a little over a year sober. And I went on to work, and I had my pre-shift drinks and went out to the back and had my pre-shift bowls and, you know, just went about my life. Well, I think what happened was that was just enough to put out into the universe of a cry for help, you know. And 2 weeks later, I found myself in my last pair of handcuffs to this day. And it put me, I was already on a court card. I actually, that was like on a Saturday or a Friday, and the day before I had gotten a call from my counselor of my other program, PC 1000, that I had tested dirty again and had failed that course. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll just one up it, you know, go to the next, go to the next step. And ended up in Prop 36 with my own team at Drug and Alcohol. And the team suggested that I go into sober living. I don't know if any of you know about a team at Drug and Alcohol, but when the team suggests something, you're going to do it, or you're going to be sitting out on Kansas Avenue wearing somebody else's underwear. And I don't know about you, but I only like my underwear. So, so I would make this call. They gave me some numbers, and I found this one guy that ran a bunch of sober living houses that if I called him and left a message, he wouldn't call me back. And so that's what I did. I called the guy twice a day, knowing he wouldn't call me back, but I'd leave a message looking for a bed, you know, so I could at least tell my team that, hey, I'm trying to get into this place. He's not calling me back. Well, one night I went in and I said that, and they said, well, here's a number of another place. Go call them right now. And I just kind of sank a little bit. And I was like, all right. And I went out in the parking lot and I sparked a cigarette. And I looked at the time. I was like, oh, it's after 5 o'clock. They're probably closed for the day. So I'll get another answering machine. Three rings in, somebody answers. I was like, oh, crap. And the guy says, well, I'm here now. You can come if come right now, you know, our typical, no, I got stuff I got to take care of, you know. And so he told me, well, be there at 11 a.m. tomorrow. And I said, okay. And I went home and I had my last drink, you know. I had a half pint of Captain Morgan and a Tall Boy Ice House and smoked a couple of bowls, and it didn't do a thing. I was stone cold sober. And that scared me. And I went in the next day, and I was just going to do this thing, you know, for to get that court card signed and to get everybody off my back and take a break, you know, build my tolerances back up, you know, because, you know, I know so much, and my way of living was so much better than what you guys had planned for me. I didn't want what you guys had for me whatsoever. Didn't even know what you guys had, but I knew I didn't want it, you know. And I started going to the 7:30 sunrise group at the old Alano Club over by the train station. I'd sit in the back with my hood on, you know, getting up 4, 5, 6 times a meeting, either for coffee or to go smoke or go to the bathroom, anything I could do to just not hear what you guys were saying. And one day I'm sitting back there, and somebody from the front of the room said, You never have to drink or use again, no matter effing what. And I thought, me not drinking, that might be a good idea. And the next thing I heard was a pop, and that was my head coming out of my ass. And the next thing I knew, I had caught alcoholism, and I became one of you. You know, all of a sudden I was an alcoholic, you know. I was no longer just a drunk getting a court card signed, and I started moving forward in the rows, and I got a service commitment, and I got a sponsor, and I worked the steps like my life depended on it. Just short of 6 months sober, which just passed this anniversary on October 30th, I realized that I had stopped doing the things, and I was only showing up for the fellowshipping part of it. You know, we used to have this big deal on Wednesday nights after the newcomer meeting where we'd all go to sushi afterwards. And that was the big thing to do in the week, you know. And so I'd show up about 8:45, about 15 minutes before the meeting was over, just so I could go fellowship with everybody. And then I'd go home and sit on my little bed and watch my little TV. And one night I was sitting there and I was like, what the hell are you doing? You're about to mess up. And I resolved right there to start back into my routine the next morning. And so I got on my little motorcycle and I started headed towards the Alano Club, and a guy turned left in front of me. And I didn't make it to that meeting. But you know what? The Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous rallied up around me and carried me through that for the next year. I didn't have to drink or use. You know, the first words out of my mouth when the paramedics showed up were, I'm an alcoholic and an addict. I don't know where that came from. That ain't me. I want three of everything now, you know? What's that word they use? Stat? Come on, let's go. You know, but for some reason, that traveled with me all the way to Fresno, you know, because they had to fly me to Fresno to save my leg. And they never gave me the button, you know? Yes, they had to give me pain medications. Yes, I had to take pain medications, but I didn't have to abuse them, you know? I actually took them less than prescribed. But today, you know, I've got, through working the steps, I've got a higher power in my life that, man, he's been showing out this last couple of weeks. Man, he has been showing off. And I just keep saying thank you. I've got two out of those three kids that I traded for drinking talking to me today. One of them is only because they need gas money or whatever, but hey, it's a conversation. You know, and my youngest of those three just turned 18 at the beginning of October, and he actually reached out. He just wanted my full name so he can get his birth certificate, but he said, hey, Dad, you know, so that's a start, you know. I've got a six-year-old that never has seen me drunk or loaded, and she now lives in Washington with her mother, and I get to get her for 2 weeks over Christmas break, and I'm really happy about that. You know, I've got things in my life today that are tangible, quality things, you know. I don't have a bunch of keys on my key ring, although I did just get a new motorcycle last week. It was awesome. Another God shot. You know, but I've got great friends around me, you know, probably two-thirds of this room, half to two-thirds, you know, I know. You know, and I probably have your number on my phone, and I can call you anytime, day or night, and you guys will be there for me. And that's not how it was before, you know. Before it was all about, are you going to pitch in on this, or what do you got in your pocket? You know, today it's about, what do you got in your heart? And today I've got love. Thanks.
Let's give Mike another round of applause.